What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Couch Fanatic Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Noah Domingue, and this is episode 4. Before we get into it, I just want to kind of promote a few things. Number one, we have our YouTube channel at Couch Fanatic Sports Podcast. Some of you might be watching the YouTube video right now of this podcast. Go check that out. Like and subscribe the videos. Secondly, go find us at social media. All of our social media is Couch Fanatic Sports Podcast, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, Couch Fanatic Sports is where you can find us on all those social media accounts, such as Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, all this other stuff. You can follow us on Twitch at Noah_Domingue. That's we stream every night, usually around 9, between 9 and 10. We have a lot of fun over there. That's probably my favorite part of all this, so go give that a check out. And yeah, today we're going to dig into some LSU talk, probably a lot of LSU talk, the recent rumors. We're going to talk some Ohio State, Michigan. We're going to talk what they should do about that. We're going to get into some MLB stuff, and then we're going to round it up with some NFL. So we got a loaded show. So, I mean, might as well just jump right in. So first, I have one question for the LSU football program. Are you a championship program or are you not? Because right now you are at a crossroads. You're at a crossroads with the future of your program, and I'm done with the excuses. I've made them for you. I've given LSU football a pass this year, and I shouldn't have because of everything that came out on Monday night. We're recording this on Tuesday, by the way, Tuesday night around, let's see, 6:32. So we started this around 6:30. It's going to come out on Thursday when you're listening to this. So everything that came out on Monday night is the reason why I should have never gave them a pass. In case you may be unaware, there were some rumors that came swirling on Monday. And it came and stayed and swirled and got faster and stronger. Like, it got stronger faster than a hurricane. Like the little blow up of Katrina, how it went from a 1 to a 5 within a couple, like night or two. Like, yeah, that's how fast this grew. So the rumor was that Eric Gilbert, our 5-star freshman tight end, who's awesome, like the next Calvin Johnson, Megatron type prospect. Rumor has it he wants out. Rumor has it he is homesick. He misses his mom. It's his first time being away. He misses his family. He wants to go back home to Georgia. He wants to transfer. He's going to opt out and transfer soon. He missed practice on Monday, and that's why. Then the rumors kept going from there. We heard different reasons why he wants out. I don't know how much credit these rumors have. No one else really addressed this, so I'm not even going to spit them out. I feel like it's just people talking just to talk to try and get attention. And we're not going to ever defame someone's name here, especially when every single person like discredited it. So we're never going to talk about it. But at first, it was a little scary. So then it comes out that he's not the only one that wants out. BJ Ojulari, I think he was a 4-star defensive end, number one player in Tennessee. He was actually Eric Gilbert's teammate. They came to LSU together. He also wants out. So you're saying, hold up, what? And then the names keep coming. All these young guys, all these recruits, they want out. They're decommitting. They want out. They want to leave. They want to opt out of season. They want to transfer. And then everybody's like, well, what is going on right here? All of a sudden you sneak in. Derek Stingley might be looking elsewhere. Derek Stingley might just opt out of next season altogether and just wait, just skip his junior year and just take the year off for the draft. Then you hear a rumor saying, no, he wants to transfer. Then you hear a rumor saying that, oh, by the way, Miles Brennan may never play football again. And that all happened within a span of 7 minutes. Within 7 minutes of the Eric Gilbert stuff coming out. I think with 247 is who, 24/7 Sports. I think that's who reported it first. Within 7 minutes of that coming out, this happened. Okay. Seems like just kind of a whirlwind. Seems like there's a lot of lies, a lot of falsehoods in there. The scary part is if that many people hopped on it that fast, there almost has to be some sort of truth to it. If all the media people knew this, there's so much smoke, there has to be a fire somewhere. So then we learn Coach O lost the locker room. Coach O, the guys don't want to play for him anymore. He's just kind of talking to nothingness. Like, the guys aren't fired up for him. They don't want to play for him. They don't like Coach O anymore. So, number one, if that is true, Coach O needs the boot, right? Coach O needs to be fired. If that's true, if that's the case, it's not. We know this now, but Coach O would need to be fired. In fact, I even tweeted it out saying, if Coach O lost the locker room and everyone wants out and no one wants to play at LSU anymore, they need to fire him today and throw the biggest bag in human history at Urban Meyer and go get him and make him come coach us. Turn us in to what he did for Ohio State. Compete against Saban. Go make LSU. Go do what you do. My point still stands. If O did lose the locker room, if these guys want to leave because of him, he does need to be fired. That his entire job is to have control of the locker room. That's his job. His job is to recruit, one, two, motivate, and three, hire the best coordinators in the country possible. So far, he has done zero out of those three this year. He hired Bo Pelini, so you already messed up the second one. If he lost the locker room, if he's like, if the guys don't want to play for him, then he's not motivating. And then three, recruiting, it's kind of a normal LSU recruiting class. There's no five stars, or there might be one. Like, this isn't this top class everyone was dreaming of last year. Everybody last year was talking about, hey, we're going to have a top one or two class next couple years coming up. We're going to be dominant. We're going to be Bama. Then last year happens as best team in college football history. Joe Burrow leading the boys. You got Joe Brady and Dave Aranda, the two best coordinators in the country. You got Coach O at the helm recruiting everybody and motivating everybody, preaching this one team, one heartbeat, unity motto. It was the perfect storm. We go to Alabama. We beat them on their field. We beat them worse than what the final score suggests. We start posting stuff from the locker room. Roll Tide, what, F you? We going to dominate them. This is our field now. We're going to dominate them in recruiting. We're going to dominate them and people wanting to be here and wins and championships. And this is starting now, starting today. And then Bama comes to your house and beats you down 55-14. You give up 45 points to Bama in the first half. You didn't get one stop. Every single time Bama touched the ball in the first half, you let them score. I thought you were going to dominate Bama. If you're going to say it, say it. I loved it. I loved it when it first came out because I didn't think this was going to happen. I thought we were a championship program, and that's where I messed up. I shouldn't have thought that. I should have never thought that LSU would be what they are claiming to be. Because after that, they got real high and mighty. They started saying, we are like Clemson and Ohio State and Bama. We are that now. Well, guess what? You're not. Because this would never happen at Bama, what's happening this year. And I'm done making excuses because I've given every excuse in the book. Losing 18 starters, that's a big deal. Losing your two coordinators, the best two coordinators in the country, that's a big deal. Losing Joe Burrow, of all people, having five people drafted in the first round and then two or three first rounders from this year opt out. Those are big deals, right? You're losing guys. Championship program, they don't win three games in a season. And I get it, COVID, it prevented this. It prevented Bo Pelini from getting established with the players or the practice time with the young guys. We have a really young roster. Miles Brennan got hurt, all this other stuff. Miles Brennan got hurt, and we still lost on the road to Missouri. Offense put up 47 points on the road to Missouri, and we still lost. That's not an LSU defense out there. There's no linebackers out there. Have you seen one linebacker on this team this year? I haven't. I haven't seen a single guy, and it sucks to say. Because, like, I mean, there's still, at the end of the day, there's still children out there, so I don't want to dog them out. But We don't have a linebacker on our team. And then Matt Moscona with ESPN made this point. LSU's struggling to find a single linebacker on the roster while Bama's got three guys from Baton Rouge starting dominating us. I think that's what hurt the most. The amount of Baton Rouge and local boys that they got over there at Bama that dominate us. Devontae Smith, the guy who tears us up, he's from Ameet. Did you know that? Did you know Dylan Moses, their first-round linebacker, literally played on LSU's campus at U High? Did you know another starting linebacker on our team also went to U High? And then the third one went to Baton Rouge? I mean, he lived in Baton Rouge. I don't know what school he went to. Like, did y'all know that? The guys that tore us up all game long are guys that should have been in purple and gold. People that grew up on LSU's campus. And that's the problem. Saban doesn't let their best people leave the state of Alabama. And then he still comes to Louisiana and takes what he wants. Louisiana has some of the best athletes in the nation. Regardless of what you think, regardless of what you believe, it's true. Every sport. Louisiana has some of the best athletes. Louisiana, Georgia, Texas, California. Those schools, those states have the best athletes in the country. Yet, who's good in those states? Oh, wait. Seriously. Who's the best football program in Texas? A&M? When was the last time they won a championship? Louisiana? Like, I mean, LSU's won three since 2000. That's very good. It's the most besides Bama. But, like, the amount of talent that we have doesn't correlate to the type of success we have because in between championships, we'll have 7-5 seasons regularly. We haven't won a baseball national championship since 2009. And before that, it was since Skip. California? What college in California is any type of good at any sport? Nobody, right? Georgia? Georgia's only decent at football, and still they can't get over the hump. We're letting other places come in and take the best athletes in our states at will, taking whoever they want. And that's the problem, and that's the root of it. And in case y'all didn't notice, Saban was real mad in that game. He was out for blood, and he was out to prove something because they went for it on fourth down. And that announcer's like, whoa, Bama's going for it on 4th and 3 here. Bama never goes for it on 4th down. They went for it twice all year. And they went for it on us. Also, for the love of God, Bo Pelini. Oh, they got the 4th down, by the way, in the first half. And then scored 2 plays later. Why is Derek Stingley not on Smitty? You have their best receiver who's tore you up last year and this year, tearing you up, and you have Cordell Flott on him. Put your best guy on their best guy. And if you lose the battle, that's okay because that's all you could do. But you have the best cornerback in college football. Let him guard Smith. Let him guard Devontae Smith. If he can't, oh well. We tried our best. We put our best versus their best. They beat us. Nothing you can do about it. Instead, I have to watch Devontae Smith score 3 touchdowns in the first half. In the first half. That's the key point here. In the first half, he scored 3 touchdowns. Against LSU. And that's the problem. So, at the end of the day, LSU, you have to decide now if you're a championship program. Because if you let those guys walk out the door, like they're saying, this is going to set your program back by 5 years. The amount of names that I saw, the amount of big names that I saw talking about leaving, that'll set your program back 5 years, especially with you only being able to sign 25 guys per class. Because you have no depth. What happened to Ole Miss whenever they had all the sanctions and suspensions from the NCAA, that's going to happen to us. Except it won't be NCAA putting it on us. It would be ourselves. And also, one other point that I'd like to point out. Don't know if there's anything to it. Probably still has to be talked about. People started opting out. And all this news is starting to come out as the investigation for all the sexual assault stuff is coming out. I don't know if there's anything to it. It might be coincidental. It might be a coincidence. I don't know. But I think it's still something you have to talk about because coincidence or not, it looks fishy. It doesn't look good because it looks like, oh, like they found something. Like they know they're going to find it. I need to get out now. you know, who knows? It might be nothing, you know? We may never know, but I don't like the timing of it. Anyways, just moving on. To a lighter subject. A few weeks back, whenever Ohio State's game was canceled with, I want to say, Maryland? Something like that. It was announced that they had to play out the remainder of their schedule. They couldn't miss another game, or they wouldn't be able to qualify for the Big Ten Championship game because they wouldn't reach the 6 games requirement. I made a joke back then saying, I see Michigan on that schedule. How bad do you hate your rival? How do you hate your rival enough to cancel the game on them because of COVID concerns to make sure that they couldn't get into the Big Ten Championship game or the playoff? Because you're not getting into the college football playoffs with 5-0 or 6-0 without a conference title. It's just not going to happen. Fast forward to Tuesday, today, December 8th, we find out that Michigan canceled the game because of COVID. And oh my gosh, it's hilarious, right? Like, it's hilarious. Like, they canceled the game last week because of COVID concerns, presumptive cases, right? But it's like, it's really funny that this like ended up happening. And now unless something changes, which I can't see how it can, because the Big Ten commissioner was very strict about the whole no non-conference games, right? So I want to see what happens. I want to see if I really want to know what comes out of this. I wonder if the Big Ten will let them get an exception because they know, like, if Ohio State doesn't play another game and they can't go to the Big Ten Championship, they're not going to be in the playoffs. Big Ten won't have a representative. So then my brain started to spin the wheels. No one else had a game canceled on this week. Texas A&M. Texas A&M's a number 5 team in the country. Ohio State's number 4. Why not let them play each other? And I know. Oh, no, logistically, it's going to be very hard to do. Figure it out. Really, like, figure it out. Go to a neutral site game somewhere between the two. I don't know. Kansas City, maybe. Did the Chiefs play at home on Sunday? I don't know. Let's go see. I literally have no idea whatsoever, so now I'm curious. You go to a neutral site game, allow no fans, and then both teams are at the same exact – Chiefs are on the road. This is working. You let them play there. You let them play in Kansas City, neutral site game, no fans. Both teams get the same amount of time to prepare for each other. You play on Saturday, find out on Wednesday, so you get your 3 or 4 days. And, I mean, both teams are at a disadvantage. Neither team can complain. And how bad do you want to play? How bad do you want to make the playoffs? Because if Ohio State wins this game, they get a top 5 win on their resume. Neutral site game, plus their win over Indiana, plus they make the Big Ten Championship game, get to play – who do they get to play? Northwestern. They get to play Northwestern, who's the top 10 team. Go beat Northwestern. They're in the playoffs. That 7-0 with Indiana, Northwestern, and Texas A&M victories get you in the playoffs. In a conference championship, you know, it doesn't get you in the playoffs is if you don't play a game – you're 5-0. You go play Iowa. Now you're 6-0. You don't get a conference championship game. 6-0 with a win over Indiana, and that's it. No conference championship. That's not getting you in the playoffs. Vice versa, A&M needs one of the top 4 teams to lose to get in, right? Scratch that. They really need Clemson to lose or Ohio State, because Bama beat them. They're going to get in. Bama's going to get in over A&M. Notre Dame, if they lose, I don't know how you don't put them in because they already beat Clemson. Their only loss would be to Clemson. So I don't know how you can put Clemson in over them if they both beat each other, regardless of Trevor Lawrence playing or not. Let them play each other for the final spot. That's what it would be. It would be 5-4. Whoever wins this game pretty much locks up a playoff spot. A&M's resume would be good. That'd be 8-1, 9-1, something like that. With wins over Florida and Ohio State. It's a good resume. No matter how bad Bama beat them by, I mean, Bama's going to destroy everybody. They're going to win the championship this year. Nobody comes close to them. But at the end of the day, like, it still gets them to the dance. It's mutually beneficial for both teams, and it's basically go out there and play man football. If you win the game, then you make them to the playoff. That's how it would go. And it's not like a guarantee, like, oh, if you win, whoever wins gets a spot. Like, no, it's just, I mean, it's how it's going to work by the committee, just knowing how they work, how they operate. I think it's a fun matchup. I feel like both teams should be advocating for it. And I know both SEC and the Big Ten, both of them have said, under no circumstance will they allow a non-conference game where, you know what, this should be the circumstance, the one circumstance. If they have one circumstance, this should be it. Because the amount of views a Big Ten SEC 5v4 matchup would produce, that's like top level type ratings. Like, that would make so much money for all parties involved. And honestly, it just makes too much sense for it not to happen. So just do it. You know, why not? Just do it. Get into a little MLB talk quickly. Can we please just add the universal DH already? The universal DH needs to be in baseball. If you don't agree with it, you're wrong. Universal DH would have been in baseball in 1977 if the Philadelphia Phillies owner would have showed up to the meeting and voted yes like he wanted to. He would have been the deciding vote. So let's give a backstory. 1977, the National League was voting on if they should allow the DH in the National League. They needed a simple majority, 7 out of 12, to pass. They had 6 yeses, 4 noes, and 2 people didn't show up. Because of this, they couldn't pass it. One of the people that didn't show up was the Phillies owner, who was actively encouraging everyone to vote yes for it because it would drive up ticket sales because, quote, base hits are entertaining. People want to see hits. You're right, dude. You are so right. Like, yes, we want to see hits. We want to see homers. We want to see RBIs. But you know what? We don't get to see that because you went on a fishing trip and missed the vote. How did you do that? How did you miss the vote? The thing you were campaigning for. That would be like running for president and then winning, like, the day of the election is whenever you that's whenever you just go, like, on ghost. Like, instead of tweeting and encouraging people and, like, going on TV and, like, holding stuff, or, like, that's like running for president and then not showing up to the final debate, right? Like, it's crazy. It's or, like, encouraging people not to go out and vote. Like, it's weird. Like, it's, like, something you wouldn't expect. But if homeboy would have postponed his fishing trip for a day, we would have a DH right now. And every life would be normal. But instead, I get to watch pitchers get hurt trying to swing the bat for the first time since they're 14. I get to watch pitchers who aren't used to running and doing these pitchers are athletes, yes, but, like, they're not used to exploding. Like, it's different type of muscles. It's different type of explosion. Like, they're exploding off the mound. They're not used to pushing off a base or stepping off a base. And, like, people have messed up their knees and their ankles and Achilles, and people have ruined careers over this stuff. And you know what would suck? If... Say you're a Mets fan, right? We're going to use Jacob DeGrom, best pitcher in baseball. Imagine if Jacob DeGrom tore his Achilles let's say he tore his Achilles, God forbid, in August as you're about to make a playoff run. Like, you're a game out of the division. Like, you're going for it. And then all of a sudden you can't make the playoffs. You miss the playoffs. You don't win the division because he tore his Achilles running the bases. And then he also misses the first – however many months of the season, the first half of the season. He might not be fully healthy and, like, himself again until August. Or what if, like, Jacob DeGrom gets up there? Are you just telling him to take 3 pitches right down the middle? Yeah, that's entertaining. That's fun. Or what if Jacob DeGrom's at 78 pitches through 7 innings and you take him out because his spot in the lineup comes up with – bases loaded, one out. And it's game's tied, nothing. He's at 78 pitches through 7 innings, no runs. And you have to decide right there saying, am I going to let him keep pitching because he's dominating? Or am I going to try and score a run? Why not have best of both worlds? Who would you rather swing the bat? Would you rather watch Justin Verlander hit? Or do you want to see David Ortiz? Or Nelson Cruz? Or Edwin Encarnacion? Or J.D. Martinez? Or Marcelo Zuna, like these people who rake. Like, what would you rather see? Would you rather see 40-something homers a year with 1,000 OPS? Or do you want to go watch Clayton Kershaw hit 104 on a year? Like, if that.
Oh, but Noah, what about the cool moments like the Bartolo homer?
Okay, so we're not going to make the game better because of one cool moment 5 years ago? Like, you can miss me with that. You know why pitchers hitting a home run or getting hit is such a big deal? It's because it never happens. And that's what's wrong with it. That's why we need to change it. Because something, when something's wrong, you don't just say, well, that's wrong, out of our hands. Like, no, you go fix it. And how you fix this is you let the National League have a DH. It makes everyone's life better. It prolongs career. It adds jobs. Because if you give them a DH tomorrow, that adds 15 more jobs right there. For hitters to say, hey, you might not be great in the field, but we think you have 35 home run potential. Without the DH, David Ortiz probably retires 6 years earlier, 7 years earlier. Without the DH, these people, these superstars, will retire earlier because they just can't do it anymore. They're too old. The DH also gives people an opportunity to get days off. It's like Mike Trout. You know that guy, right? Best player to ever play a game. Him and Barry Bonds on their own level together. 1-2. Mike Trout, you know, him, that guy. If he's ever playing, if the Angels ever have a stretch where they play 20 games in 21 days, instead of not having the best player of all time play for a game to give him a day off, you can just throw him in the DH spot. Here, you need a day off. We don't want you running center field tonight. Last night we played 16 innings, didn't finish till midnight. We got a 12 a.m. Start tonight. I mean, 12 p.m. start today, like at noon. So just go out there, just go swing the bat 4 times, and we don't need you to play center today. Like, take a break. That's the type of stuff that prolongs careers. It's better for the game. It helps every party involved. It lets pitchers allow to focus on their craft.
Oh, but we should – what's next? We just make 9 DHs of 9 defenders and 9 offense, and you play like football?
No, nobody said that. Because they're still ball players, but pitchers, they're just, it's a different, they're a different animal. Like, you ever notice how in a clubhouse and on a team, the pitchers hang out with the pitchers and the position players hang out with the position players? That's because they are not the same. They're not the same beasts. They don't deal the same stuff every day. They have different jobs, and that's okay, right? That's okay to have different jobs. But it's not a pitcher's job to go out there and hit. It's their job to pitch, first and foremost. And if Chris Sale, or who's your favorite pitcher? Say your pitcher's name right now. Okay, imagine that guy having to miss a full season because he tore his ACL on a base. Right? This sounds sucky, right? Imagine being a Yankees fan and Gerrit Cole has to miss a full season because he slid back into third base wrong and tore his labrum because he hasn't had to be on the bases or slide since he was 12. These are the stuff that people don't think about. These are the stuff that can happen and has happened. Steven Wright with the Red Sox was an all-star. Slid back in the third, janked up his shoulder, janked up his knee when he was running, never pitched again. He was never healthy enough to pitch again. He was one of the Red Sox best pitchers that season, in the 2016 season, but he had to run bases in Dodger Stadium. Silly. It's what it is. Silly. And don't hit me with this strategy stuff. Because giving someone a choice of stupid stuff does not mean it's strategic. Saying, hey, do you want your awesome pitcher to be able to still pitch? Or do you want to be able to have someone hit for him? You can't have them both. Why? Why not? It sounds so dumb and so juvenile. And if you're an American League fan, you really get this. And if you're a National League fan, I don't know how you don't really get this. Because you look at the Red Sox and say, whoa. Chris Sale never has to swing a bat. JD Martinez does that for him. That's cool. Like, could you imagine that? Like, Braves fans, 10 years from now, when Freddie Freeman's like 36, do you want Freddie Freeman going out there and playing in the field every day, or would you rather be able to let him just hit? I'd be cool just him hitting, right? You know, prolong his career. But you know, some people don't view it as that because some people are dumb. So we can just honestly get into the NFL talk now. So as always, we're going to start off with the Saints, you know, Louisiana people. We're going to start with the Louisiana teams. Unless we go to the point where it's a national type thing and people get upset about that. So, I mean, If you don't want to hear about it, just get every person you know to listen. Maybe we'll change. And every person they know and every, yeah, down the line. Yeah, you get it. Cross-pollination. So, first off, the Saints clinched a playoff spot. First team in the NFL to clinch with their victory over the Falcons on Sunday and the Bears' loss. You know, whatevs. It's not really a big deal. We're expecting that. However, they can clinch the division with a victory next week or a Tampa Bay loss. That gets the juices flowing. That gets it going, right? But right now, as the top team is in the NFC, what would really get it going is clinching the first round bye. And it looks like we're going to have to win out to do that. It's going off of who we have next on the schedule. We have the Eagles in these next last four games. Eagles, Chiefs, Vikings, Panthers. Vikings on Christmas Day. It's not an easy stretch. Chiefs are the best team in football. I think the Saints are a close second. And I think there is a large gap between them and everyone else. I will also go as far as to say that the Saints are the most complete and most well-rounded team in football. Let me repeat that. The Saints are the best, most complete, and most well-rounded team in football. There are no flaws on the Saints. You can find a flaw on every single top team except for the Saints. Kansas City's defense is good enough to overcome. I mean, the Kansas City's offense is good enough to overcome their defensive flaws. The Packers' run defense is abysmal. The Packers' receiving options outside of Devontae Adams, not great. Packers' defense overall is not great. I'd love to match with the Packers again in the playoffs. And the Packers beat the Saints because what? That was without Michael Thomas. That was when the defense was solid of sync and committing 1,000 penalties a game. And now the defense is the best defense in the NFL in total yards and total defense. Best in the NFL. Right. That was before Drew Brees got accustomed to playing with Emmanuel Sanders. Like, that wasn't the same Saints team as we're seeing now. Whenever I say the best team in the NFL, I'm not talking about, like, throughout the season. I'm talking since week four on, since this 9-game win streak started. They're the best team in football. And I don't care what your analyst or what you think. Oh, Patrick Mahomes. No, the Saints are better. The Saints need to go out there and beat everyone and win the Super Bowl for Drew and let him retire in the sunset. And they're capable of it because their defense is legit. They are scary. Their front seven might be the best in football. And that's not just saying that. They've been top five run defense in the NFL over the last few years. And right now they're number one. They're very good. The Dallas and Ravens game just started, so I'll kind of give updates as that goes on, right? But they're very, very good defense. Something we're not used to seeing. Then you see the offense start to really pick it up before Drew got hurt. And then even after Drew got hurt, they're still putting up points and moving the ball and doing what they got to do. Okay. You know. Okay. Then you see Taysom Hill leading them to victories, going 3-0 so far without Drew, including beating the Falcons twice. You want some stats? I'll give you some stats. The Saints' defense over the last 5 weeks have allowed 2 touchdowns. In that 5-week stretch, they played the Tom Brady-led offense of the Bucs that has Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, and everyone else from the 2012 All-Star team, right? They also played the Falcons twice. The Falcons, those 2 games that they didn't play them, Falcons played the Saints, scored 16 and 9 points those 2 games. The 2 games besides that, they scored in the 40s. The Falcons put up points. Their offense is good. They got shut down. The Broncos, we don't need to talk about that. The Broncos started a practice squad receiver at quarterback because of all the injuries. Still got shut down, you know, but, you know, whatever, chain of business, nothing to brag about. It's just they went out there, they handled their business, they did what they had to do, and that's what led to the victory. And then also they defeated Kyle Shanahan in offense, holding them to 13 points and 3 points in the second half. And I get it. The 49ers were depleted. 49ers also went out there and beat the Rams the next week. So even a depleted 49ers team is a good team because Kyle Shanahan is one of the best coaches in football. And he also has Robert Saleh, who's the best coordinator in football and who's going to be a really good head coach. The 49ers are still a good team. They're still a competitive team, and they can go out there and beat any team in the NFL on any given day. Problem is they ran into the Saints, and they ran into the hottest team in the NFL. And it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. Drew Brees got hurt that game. He finished up the game, though. Actually, didn't Jameis Winston finish out the game in the second half? But it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback, Drew, Jameis, Taysom, it doesn't matter. The Saints are going to find a way to win. That's what they've done all year long. That's what they did last year, and that's what they're going to continue to do. I'm impressed by the Saints. They're so good. Their defense is awesome. There's no flaws in their team. Their biggest flaw would be getting called for pass interference on defense, but they really stopped doing that until the Falcons game, in which it was their fourth string corner. So yeah, he'll probably get called for pass interference. You know what I mean? He's fourth string corner for a reason. So that's what he has to do to compete with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage. He has to grab, he has to hold. No big deal. So yeah, the Saints really impressed me on Sunday. Move on to 10-2. And they're looking to move on and keep winning and winning and winning and locking up that one seed. Because one seed is more important than ever, besides home field advantage factor. That's the only bye this year. And that bye week could be the difference. And also in the AFC, the Steelers lost. The previously undefeated Steelers. They still technically hold the tiebreaker over the Chiefs because the Chiefs loss was an AFC loss and the Steelers loss was an NFC loss. The Chiefs, if the Saints meet up with the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and the Chiefs have to play one extra game and don't get the week off before that, that's a real advantage, right? That's a real advantage. And the Chiefs having to play the Steelers in the AFC Championship game, a great defense, that's a real, real, real advantage, guys. The Saints are going to be better rested. They're going to be, they're going to have more time to prepare. They're going to be able to spend some time with their families from all the mental stuff going on with COVID. Believe it or not, this is taking a toll on players. It's taking a toll on the college kids too. It's taking a toll on everybody. That week off can be very, very important. And unless the Steelers lose again, which is possible, I don't think they're the best team in the NFL. They're top five just because their defense is amazing. They are amazing, but their offense is wrong. It relies on Big Ben. It depends on what Big Ben shows up on that day. But, you went out there and lost to the Washington football team. And they've been flirting with – the Steelers have been flirting with some losses this year. They have been flirting with some losses. Quite honestly, they probably should have lost the Titans game. Both Ravens games could have been a loss. The Cowboys game should have been a loss. They've been flirting with some losses. They've allowed teams to play them very close, like the Broncos, the Texans, kind of just looking at their schedule right now. Those were all teams that they only beat by one score. There's three games this year when they went out there and just handled business, Bengals, Browns, and Jags. So, if you go out there and really just handle your business 25% of the time, no, not even. Yeah. Okay, yeah. But, you're out there and you're not handling your business. Big Ben's QBR this year is a 66.8. That's not good. And that's the guy who has to go out there and win you a Super Bowl. I just don't see it. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. Their defense is awesome, but I don't know if Big Ben can do it anymore. I'm pretty sure the Ravens just got the ball back from the Cowboys. It looked like an interception, but I'm not sure. I'm just kind of seeing the game cast as it goes along. All right, just moving on now. Lions beat the Bears. Stafford made some really good plays. He threw for 400-something yards, three touchdowns. He looked really, really good out there. He made a couple throws. Twitter was lighting up, as always, saying, if Patrick Mahomes made this throw, we wouldn't stop talking about it for years, which we do have a Stafford a lot. It's kind of what happens. The Bears are pitiful. Everyone in the Bears need to be fired. Like, they're pitiful. They're so bad. I honestly feel bad for their defense. Their defense is so good. Like, if Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack and Kyle Fuller, if these guys want to go play for the Saints, like, they can come. Like, we'll let them, you know. The Browns looked really good on Sunday. Beat the Titans. Baker Mayfield throws for 4 touchdowns and a half. Like, one half of football. Put up 41 points. Beat the Titans. Nick Chubb ran wild. Like, the Browns looked good on Sunday. They were impressive. They made a statement. And the Browns have some quality wins this year. I mean, they've beaten the Colts. They've beaten the Titans. Like, they have quality wins. I don't think they're competing for the AFC Championship game. I don't think they're competing for a Super Bowl. They're building something here. Coach Stefanski is legit. He deserves his credit. That what LeBron said after winning the championship, they want their credit. Stefanski deserves his credit at this point. What he's done in Cleveland in his first year is impressive. Now, the Titans, on the other hand, I don't know what to think of the Titans, man. They go out there, they'll go beat up on a good team, and the next week lose. Like, they're weird. They're a weird team. I honestly don't know what to think of the Titans. Derrick Henry, like, he feels so hit and miss. Obviously, part of it's game script. Part of it's just being able to block. But, like, Derrick Henry, like, having him as a fantasy player especially, Derrick Henry just kind of just doesn't produce week in and week out. As great as he is, and most of it's probably because of his offensive line. But as great as he is, like, he had 15 carries for 60 yards on Sunday. Does that sound like the Derrick Henry you know? He's not really involved in the passing game. If he's lucky, he'll catch one pass a game. It's very weird. Like, it's very weird how all of it works. You'd think that, like, they would start to pass him the ball and, like, get him the ball in different ways and, like, get him out in the open. But, I mean, if I told you Derrick Henry had 16 touches, how many yards do you think he has? Probably 100, right? Just kind of like what you expect from Derrick Henry. But it just didn't really happen. A.J. Brown, he's so good. He's so talented. And I feel it's weird. Like, the Titans, like, Tannehill has favored Corey Davis all year. Corey Davis is not better than A.J. Brown. I wonder how much part of it is everyone focuses on A.J. Brown and allows Corey Davis to get open. Because Corey Davis he's a big dude, big catch radius, long arms, he's fast. Like, he's a good receiving option, but it's not A.J. Brown. It's very weird. I don't understand what's going on with those games. I don't understand what's going on with the Titans in general. They're just a very weird team this year. Dolphins beat the Bengals. Yeah, you know, who cares? It's kind of just what you expected. Bengals aren't good. Dolphins are a playoff team. The Bengals are without Joe Burrow. The Dolphins are a playoff team. Tua played, threw for almost 300 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, good game, solid. And honestly, that's pretty much all that really needs to be said about this game. The Dolphins won. Kind of went out there and handled business like they're supposed to. There's a lot of fights that happened in this game. Which is weird because you don't expect a 2-9-1 team to be fighting, especially if they're not in the same division. But like Coach Flo, Coach Brian Flores, the Dolphins head coach, was out on the field like legit trying to throw hands. And it came from the Bengals receiver Mike Thomas, not the Saints star Michael Thomas. This guy's just named Mike Thomas. It's funny, I know. He was running punt team, and twice he smoked the Dolphins like punt returner before he even had a chance to catch the ball. Just, like, lit him up. And the coach was on the field, and everybody was throwing hands, and a ton of people got ejected and all this other stuff. It was crazy. Like, it was wild to see. Like, I just kept getting updates throughout the game. Like, oh, so-and-so got ejected. Oh, so-and-so got ejected. Oh, so-and-so got ejected. Like, it just kept going on and on and on and on. Like, I wonder if I can pull up a list of ejections. I know Devontae Parker was ejected. I know is either Xavier Howard or Byron Jones is one of the two corners. I got to check it. Let's see if we can pull it up, though. But, like, watching, like, red zone, they kept showing, like, and another ejection, and another ejection, and another ejection. See, I'm pulling it up on the laptop right now. Let's see. Three people rejected. Bengals safety, Sean Williams. Dolphins wide receiver, Devontae Parker, and wide receivers, and Mac Hollins were rejected. Let's see. And there was two other ejections that happened. I know two players were fighting before. Xavier Howard was ejected. These were two separate scuffles, by the way. And they didn't name the other. They didn't name who he was fighting with. This is weird. I don't know why they wouldn't name who he's fighting with. I'm sure I could find it if I wanted to find it, but I don't know. I don't know how you leave that out of the article. Feels like it's something that's pretty important. Just me, though. But, yeah, like, there were fights. It seemed like they were more worried about fighting instead of playing football. But, you know, I don't hate sometimes. Like, sometimes, like, it's kind of good to see that sometimes. But, honestly, like, as an LSU fan right now, when LSU and Bama started to kind of throw hands a little bit at one point in the game, I was like, that was probably the most exciting part of the game. Cheering on your team, talking about, oh, yeah, we win a fight now. We'll win a fight. We might lose this game by a trillion. We're going to win a fight. That's what we live by. That's the Louisiana way. Jaguars, Vikings. The Vikings tried their absolute hardest to lose this game. The biggest takeaway I can take from this game is the Jaguars, tank for Trevor, still alive. I don't know if it's alive and well because the Jets purposely, intentionally tried to lose. We're going to get to that. That's the next game. But what would focus on Jags? At one point, the Jets were going to win, and it looked like if they would have won, the Jaguars would have had the number one pick if they both lost out at that point. So that would have been cool. Yeah, that would have been pretty awesome. Kirk Cousins had a good game. 305 yards, three touchdowns. Dalvin Cook ran for 120. Justin Jefferson, offensive rookie of the year this year. Not even close. Number four in the NFL in receiving yards. He had nine catches, 121 yards, and a touchdown. Justin Jefferson is the man. He is literally Stephon Diggs, except better. He's having a better year than Stephon Diggs as a rookie. And people were worried about the Vikings because they traded away Stephon Diggs. And then they literally replaced him with a better version of Stephon Diggs. And this isn't a shot of Stephon Diggs whatsoever. Stephon Diggs is a very good football player. Justin Jefferson has more yards, more touchdowns, and 29 less catches, and a ton less targets. Oh, and he also plays with Kirk Cousins. Because he's playing with Kirk Cousins, not Josh Allen. So all the Kirk Cousins haters that talk so much trash about Kirk Cousins, you can't have it both ways. It's either Kirk Cousins sucks or, oh, Justin Jefferson used to play with Kirk Cousins. You can't have it both ways because that's what some people are saying. There are people who say Kirk Cousins sucks in one tweet, and then they'll send out another tweet later saying, oh, well, Herbert should be Dolphins Rookie of the Year because Justin Jefferson has Kirk Cousins done in football. Like, no. You can't play both sides like that. Can't. Like, we shall allow it. We shall not allow it. Like, we can't allow that to happen. Justin Jefferson deserves his respect. There's a lot of people today that deserve their respect, apparently. Stefanski, Jefferson, all these people that deserve their respect. Urban Meyer. But the Vikings missed a kick that would have won the game in overtime. I mean, before overtime. And then it went to overtime. And then it kicked field goal to win in overtime. So, I mean, it kind of worked itself out. Moving on to the Raiders-Jets quickly. Jets, if we would have lost the game, would have given the Jaguars number one pick. Jaguars would have got Trevor Lawrence. Instead, with a few seconds left in the game, I think 13 seconds left when the ball was snapped, Greg Williams decides to send an all-out blitz and blitz seven. And the Raiders just max protect. Henry Ruggs runs a double move on the outside, burns the corner, touchdown Raiders, 5 seconds left. Winning game 31-28, Jets lose. Jets then fired Greg Williams on Monday, make it look like, oh no, he made a bad decision, he got fired. Like, no. He knew what he was doing. We know that y'all lost on purpose. We're not dumb. And also, the play call wasn't too wild if the players would have done what they're supposed to do. Because there was a linebacker covering the running back, but the running back didn't go anywhere because it's a max protect. So as soon as they heard Derek Carr say the words, "Hey, max protect, like protect me," they should have checked out of it. That's the middle linebacker's responsibility. You need to check out of it. Or you know, hey, my job's to cover the running back. Well, now he's protecting, he's blocking, I need to blitz. Because if I don't blitz, now our blitz is for nothing because we don't have the man up. The reason why you blitz is because you want to send more rushers than they have people to block. So that right there could have did it. If the cornerback doesn't bite on a double move, it does it, right? If he understands, hey, the one thing I can't do is let this guy beat me over the top. And you're up four. And you let him do that. You bite on an in route as if he's going to run a 20-yard stopping route, a curl or something, 20 yards down the field with 5 seconds left in the game when they're down four. No timeouts. It's just dumb. Honestly, don't hate the play call that much. Greg Williams just can't help it. He can't help it. And especially in those situations, that's what lost the Saints the playoff game against the 49ers, the divisional round back in the day, the Vernon Davis playoff game, as some may remember it. He can't help himself, poor guy. But, I mean, he'll probably go get a job somewhere else now. That's just kind of what Greg Williams does. Colts beat the Texans 26-20. The Texans had a weird, like, bad snap. Ended up fumbling the ball when they're at the goal line. A little bit of time left. Colts recover it. Sean Watson goes on the bench. Like, they lose the game. And, like, he's just, like, bawling his eyes out, crying, like, just sad because, like, he's not used to losing as much. I mean, we're talking about a guy who went to Clemson. You know, like, he's the one that started Clemson to be good. I feel bad for Sean Watson. Some people are like, oh, he did it for himself. He signed that extension. Well, yeah, he also signed the extension for generational wealth. That's why he signed the extension. He's making $47 million a year. He earned every penny on this podcast. We do not pocket watch. The only way we pocket watch is saying, yeah, boy, get your bread, right? Now get your money. That's all we care about. We want our people to get paid. Not just our people, all athletes. We want all athletes to get paid. Colts are 8-4. Tied with the Titans for the AFC South lead. I don't know what they're going to do. They split the season series. I don't know what their tiebreaker is. I don't feel like looking it up because I don't think either of them are a real threat to any team. But, yeah, Bill O'Brien really, really messed up the Texans. Rams, Cardinals. Rams went out there, handled business. Jared Goff threw for 350, scored a couple touchdowns. Robert Woods had 10 catches. Cam Akers ran pretty well. I'm hoping he's starting to take the job because he is the best back on that team. Many people were talking about he had the most potential out of all the backs in last year's draft. So, you know, hopefully he can take that spot. But I don't know. The Rams are out there and just prove they're a better team. They held Kyler Murray to 14 points going into the fourth quarter. So in three quarters, they held Kyler Murray to 14 points. Not many people can say that they've done that this season. Kyler Murray didn't have a good game. 173 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick, 45.3 QBR. He also ran for average 3 yards a carry over his 5 attempts, no touchdowns. So he had less than 200 yards and a pick. I don't care about the 3 touchdowns. He had less than 200 yards and a pick. Not a good game. It's not a good football game. Goff, on the other hand, he had 351 yards and no interceptions. That's a good football game. Regardless of whatever. You know what I mean? I saw some clips of just Aaron Donald being Aaron Donald and just living in the backfield. He had a sack and a tackle for loss. He is so good at football. Like, he is so dominant. He's going to go down as one of the all-time greats. And, like, we've known that for a long time. And it's always, like, the smart answer to say, like, oh, if you started a franchise tomorrow, who are you taking first overall? And, like, the smart people, like the nerds, are going to be like, it's Aaron Donald. You know, like, because everybody knows he's generous with talent. And I'm still taking Mahomes, me. But, like, you know, sorry. But Aaron Donald is legit. He's the best thing we've seen since Lawrence Taylor. He is the best defender of that I've ever seen personally, like of my generation. update on the Cowboys game. Cowboys are up 3-0 on the Ravens in the first quarter. Ravens lose this game, there's no chance they're making it to the playoffs. I don't think they're going to make it already, but there's pretty much no chance they're going to make it to the playoffs. And I don't know what happened to Lamar Jackson, but oh boy, that's bad. Like Lamar Jackson, that's some stuff right there. I'm kind of watching this Cowboys score stuff closely because I have some fantasy stock riding on it. I need Zeke to get less than 12.8. So cheer for that whenever you're hearing this, if that makes sense. Oh, and I say that, and Lamar Jackson just ran for a 37-yard touchdown. Yeah, so I mean, I guess take it back. He has 4 rushes, 52 yards, and touchdown. Going back to the slate, Giants went to Seattle and beat Seattle. Dude, what a game, right? The Giants went out there. Like, Russell Wilson has not looked right. We do this every year. Russell Wilson has a great start to the season. Everybody's like, can you believe Russell Wilson has never earned an MVP vote ever? And then he just falls off the face of the planet and slumps forever and throws for 260 yards and a pick and just looks dysfunctional, has a 31.9 QBR, gets sacked 5 times, just looks bad. Russell Wilson has looked really, really, really bad since. I don't know. Honestly, let's go check it out. You know, why not? Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not go check it out? You know, let's see. We're going to just pull up his game logs over the last few weeks. So, ever since probably week 10, starting in week 10, I take it back. Probably, it's probably the Buffalo game in week 9. When he threw 2 interceptions and fumbled twice. Then on week 10, he threw 2 interceptions and fumbled once. Week 11 was all right, less than 100 yards passing. Week 12 and 13 have just been mediocre, you know, like not good. He's been turning the ball over like crazy lately. And we've talked about this before in a pod. This is Ryan Clark's theory. I love the theory. I agree with it probably 100%. But the theory is essentially that Russell Wilson has no defense. He knows this. So he presses and presses and presses every possession. No matter, I have to score. And like, there's no quote unquote, like free throws. There's no layups. Like you never have to worry about like not scoring on a possession saying like, you know, like our defense can pick us up. We're fine. But he knows like I have to score every single possession. And it's honestly kind of like the Saints, back in probably between 2012 in 2016, around that stretch, when they had like all-time worst defenses and they would go out there and break their own records every year for being even worse while Drew Brees was down for 5,000 yards. Like Drew Brees would throw 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, and the team would go 7-9. And then Drew wouldn't get his respect and still doesn't to this day because of those defenses. Like that's what Russell Wilson's dealing with right now, except the difference is Brees put up the numbers still. Russ's been struggling. Maybe honestly, you should probably call Drew and talk about it and talk about like how to help with that. I know it's random. So Russell Wilson, when you hear this, I know you're going to be listening. I mean, who doesn't listen, you know, whenever you hear this, that's what I suggest to you. Coach Noah suggests that. Packers beat the Eagles. I'm going to take this opportunity to talk to Darius Slay individually. Darius, I feel for you. Everyone else on the internet's going to roast you. It's going to make fun of you. I feel bad for you. I do. You had to cover DK Metcalf, then Davante Adams. This week, you get Michael Thomas. The week after, you get DeAndre Hopkins. Then you get Amari Cooper, and you lastly follow that up with Terry McLaurin. I genuinely feel bad for you. I'm not just saying. I honestly feel bad for you. I get it. That's what you're paid for. You get paid the big bucks to cover these guys. But honestly, bro, you're in my prayers. Like, I'll be praying for you because that is a tough draw, and nobody should have to deal with that. You don't get a single freebie. And their Eagles fans are going to rip you a new one. They get two. They've dealt with a lot, but just know some of us feel bad for you. Okay, but seriously, Packers win. Aaron Jones rushes for a ton, 130 yards. The Davante Adams had a huge game, 10 catches, 120-something yards, 2 touchdowns. Robert Tonyan caught a touchdown pass. They were just clicking. They were firing all cylinders on offense. Moving along, Patriots beat up on the Chargers 45-0. Like, that is gross. 45-0? Like, really? 45-0 against the Chargers. Like, you're Anthony Lynn. I've been calling for you to be fired for a while now. The fact that you let your team lose 45-0 to the Patriots like that, the fact that you kept Justin Herbert in while taking all of the other starters out and expecting him to do anything with it, the fact that you made Justin Herbert throw the ball 53 times you made Justin Herbert throw the football. I can't. I don't get it. I don't understand what you do here. You know what I mean? Like what's just like the old saying, like, what do you do here? And that's not even being rude. Like, seriously, what do you contribute? What do you do at practice and in the film room and all this other stuff that make your job have a purpose and make you, you know, worth this to this team? Don't know. Patriots are making a little bit of comeback. I don't think they're going to make it to the playoffs. It's probably a little bit too little, too late. Honestly, this might be Bill Belichick's most impressive coaching job. I know it's like a popular, trendy thing to say. It's true. It's popular because it's true. The Chiefs beat the Broncos. Broncos, Drew Lock threw an interception on fourth down with the game on the line, trying to go win the game. Travis Kelce had a really big game. 8 catches, 136 yards, and a touchdown. Just a monster game, honestly. Mahomes threw for 318 yards and a touchdown, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, Mahomes, really, dude? You were struggling, huh? Like, he threw for over 300 yards. No, it didn't turn the ball over once. Like, that's just, you know, it's just what we expect at this point. He's just so good. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, caught 2 interceptions in this game. So him and Kelce really carried this game. They were really the difference makers here. But yeah, the Chiefs, it's still the Chiefs division. The Broncos play a lot better than they did the week before against the Saints since they got to play with the quarterback this time. You know, it must be nice. It's crazy what happens when you're allowed to play with a quarterback, right? Steelers, Washington football team, we already talked about that. Washington football team won. The Steelers really lost at home to Washington. The fact that the two NFC East teams that we've been clowning, saying that one of them gets to host a playoff game in the year, they just went to Pittsburgh and Seattle and won just to, like, make us look silly. And they're probably going to go out next week and get their butts kicked by somebody. Let's go see who they play next week. Now that I said that, they're probably going to be playing each other, right? Let's see. The Giants get the Cardinals at home next week, so they're going to lose that, right? And the Washington football team gets to play the 49ers on the road. There's a legit chance they're just going to both lose those games. And, like, they're just sitting there chilling at 5-8. It's so funny. Like, it's, if you can't find a humor in this, I don't know what to tell you. But it just cracks me up to see this stuff happening. The Bills and Niners played. Josh Allen played really well. Really well, I say that. He played fantastic. 32 of 40 for 375 yards and 4 touchdowns. He looked great. Like, Josh Allen was doing his thing out there. Josh Allen is very, very good quarterback. I've been on the train since this preseason. I actually drafted him in all my fantasy leagues late because nobody wanted him. I'm like, y'all crazy. Josh Allen's about to break out. Josh Allen's a good quarterback, and he can also get you there with the legs. I was proven right. No big deal. Cole Beasley had a huge game. 9 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown. Stephon Diggs also had 10 catches, 92 yards. Those were, like, really, like, the biggest performers in this one. Nick Mullins, by the way, I don't know if you saw the stat on the TV, but he has the third most passing yards in NFL history through a quarterback's first 12 starts. That has to be a fake stat. That can't be real. Nick Mullins? That can't be real. I cannot believe that. That cannot be real. I refuse to believe it. I choose not to believe it, even though it is a statistic. Which leads into Brandon Ayuk catching 5 balls, 95 yards and a touchdown. Deebo Samuel also added 73 yards on 6 catches. But, man, really? Like, that many? That, like, Nick Mullins, you see the names on the list with him. And it's like Patrick Mahomes, And I forget who the other guy was. It might have been Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure. I don't remember off the top of my head. But like it was like Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and then Nick Mullins. Like it has to be fake. Somebody must have pranked the broadcast, right? Yeah, I mean, there weren't really much going on the defensive side of the ball for either team. Like, I'm kind of looking through it now. Neither team really had – nobody really went off on either team. Micah Hyde and Trey White both caught an interception. Micah Hyde also had 12 tackles to go along with his interception, so I guess he had a really good game. But, I mean – tackles don't really tell the full story of any performance, if that makes sense. Because, like, I mean, a cornerback, for example. Oh, the Cowboys just scored. Say a cornerback makes 20 tackles in the game. Like, whoa, he had a good game. Where you're like, no, his receiver caught the ball 20 times, then he tackled him after. It's not a good game. Andy Dalton just threw a touchdown pass to Michael Gallup, 13-yard touchdown to go up 10-7 on the Ravens. You're listening to this, and you're like, "Oh yes, I get to watch. I get to listen to this game live." Oh man, you're just listening to this game like, "Yo, please stop talking about it." Let me, you know, again, get all your friends and stuff to listen. Get all your friends and stuff to listen. Then I'll do whatever y'all say, cause I will do anything for the views. And as soon as y'all learn that, that's what you get to hear to talk about. That's pretty much going to wrap it up for today. On releasing this on Thursday, go check out the Throwback Music Thursday blog coming out today. Later this afternoon, or I mean if you're listening to it in the afternoon, it came out this morning. It's going to be a good one. Let's just say that. If you're interested, I also released the Lazy Couch Thought on Wednesday on the DH and kind of just expanding upon my thoughts. It's a lot of kind of regurgitated, but I noticed that the podcast listeners and the YouTube people, they don't really overlap. They don't really mix well. So, I mean, y'all just start mixing together and let's do that. Please follow me on Twitch. Have a lot of fun over there. We're starting to pick up some momentum with that. We're going every night, starting to get some consistent viewers. We're having consistent conversations. Last night on Monday, whenever the LSU news broke, I got on and said, hey, we're going to just kind of play around on game while we talk about the LSU stuff. That was fun. That was one of my favorites that we've done. But again, like, it's more fun when everybody's there. It's more fun when there's a lot of people there. So come on out. Come on out and let's have some fun. Let's enjoy ourselves and, you know, let's party. That's pretty much going to do it for today. As always, if you enjoyed, if you stayed this far, thank you. I love you guys. Please rate the show 5 stars, leave a review on iTunes, share this episode with your friends, post stuff on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, like everything, post everywhere. Let's get this show to blow up and let's get a bigger audience. Let's create a community together. And I'm going to be doing a contest soon on the Facebook page. Basically like sharing with your friends and stuff like that. And like the winner's going to get a free t-shirt. So be on the lookout for that. And yeah, just go check out all my other stuff. Go check out couchfanaticsports.com for all your blogging updates. You can catch any of our social medias, Couch Fanatic Sports, for any, just we post all of our updates there, blogs and videos, and we announce stuff on there. Things of that nature. We have conversations. We preview Saints games. If you're interested in that, I actually made a Saints like key to victory guide for the Eagles game on Sunday. That's a good read. Go check that one out. But I mean, that's going to do it for today. So again, if you liked the episode, please rate 5 stars, leave a review. If you didn't like the episode, still do it anyways. And that's pretty much going to do it for now and for today. If anything major happens, like if Trevor Bauer or something signs between now and Thursday, then I'll come back and record a little bit more. I'll be in a different location most likely. I have to record on Tuesdays just because that's what works out best for my schedule. And I like the Thursday drops. It usually schedules to post at 10 o'clock on Thursday. Sometimes it doesn't appear on iTunes, Spotify until around 11 sometimes. It kind of depends, right? So don't just check once and then give up, you know. Come back for more. And please, guys, share this episode. Let's start to grow this community. And that's going to do it for today. See you guys next Thursday. As always, I love you guys.